Go ahead and lift up your hands to his name. Hallelujah. Let him strengthen you right where you stand. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Glory to his name. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. You know, I appreciate the way the Lord works and orchestrates things. This song the choir just sang so fit with the message this morning. I toyed with the idea of us singing it or having Sister Rebecca sing it. I never did call her. And yet they came out this morning and sang the very song that I had chosen for this message. The Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. How many believes God is at work in the service this morning? Amen. Maybe you haven't shaken off Saturday night yet. But the Lord is here and he wants to meet with his people. Maybe if you're not one of his people, you don't sense that. But he wants to meet with his people. Amen. Amen. I want to recognize some folks, but if you go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 17, and as you're turning, be sure you get a bulletin. We got things like ladies meeting and board meeting, different things, prayer meeting this week. Get a bulletin to stay abreast of that. So good to see everybody. Good to have Brother and Sister Rose back. Yeah. She's looking good. Second. Amen. Good to have Brother Carr back. He's been in surgery and... Good to have Dustin back with us. Yeah. Good to have Sister Alexander, and I tell you what, and Liz has a guest with her, so good to have your guest, Liz, with us this morning. Good to have you. Amen. Got the Edwards back. I saw someone else. Help me out here. Who was I seeing? Oh, we got Ben and Melissa and their child here this morning. Good to have them. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's good to have everybody in the house of the Lord. I was telling someone this morning, normally in October, that's when vacations are over and you get a bump. Folks start coming, and I've been getting texts and emails. Folks need to be gone the next few Sundays and everything, and thinking about that. But I tell you what, God's at work, and God's moving. And I'm going to say it one more time. God wants to meet with his people. How many senses a need to meet with him? Yeah. Yeah, and Betty's back too. Good to have her back. Did I say something about the Edwards being back? Did I say? Okay. I'm repeating myself. It's like I'm already preaching. So, all right. If you were here last week, you know that we began a series, Knowing God Through His Names. I made a statement that I feel a need to make again, even before we read, because of a modern push. There's a modern push to learn the original words of God and their correct pronunciation, for instance, in Hebrew, and that'll give you some kind of edge when you pray because those pronunciation of the original words are somehow mystically give you power. This isn't what this series is about. This series is about when we understand the meaning of the words as God named himself. It's the words reveal to us something about God. And I'm telling you what, when God reveals himself to us, it only increases our experience and encounter with him. So we're knowing the names of God because through knowing his names, we're going to experience him in deeper, more intimate ways. And so if you'd stand this morning for the reading of the word, I'd like to read the whole story. I'm not going to. I'm just going to read the first two verses. And when Abram, notice his name's just still Abram. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, here's where God is naming himself. He said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And I said that to a 99-year-old man. I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. I want to go back to verse 1 because I want to look at the original word that is there. It's good to have John's mother with us too, and Erica, didn't mean to overlook anybody. Good to have them. Let's read this again, and then we're going to put within it the original word. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, you see where it says the Almighty? That says El Shaddai. El Shaddai. 99 years old, you're going to have a kid. It's going to happen because I am El Shaddai. Lord, your strength you give me. El Shaddai. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. In the history of God's people, God made himself known to the patriarchs as El Shaddai. The patriarchs being Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. That is the name they used to refer to our God. When Abraham prayed, he prayed to the El Shaddai. When Jacob prayed, he prayed to El Shaddai. When Joseph prayed, he prayed to El Shaddai. You say, well, how am I sure of that? Well, we're told that in the book of Exodus. Notice what it says here. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, listen to what he says, by the name of El Shaddai. I appeared unto them by the name God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. So the patriarchs knew God as El Shaddai. I know my mind works differently, but when I was preparing this message, I thought of the times. People are pretty far removed from farming today, but I had relatives that had farms, and I'd visit farms, and you see this picture. It comes time to feed the cattle, and the farmer fills his pickup truck with bales of hay, and he heads through the gate and out into the pasture, and you know what happens. Here comes the cows. They may be scattered across that field there, but when that pickup rolls in, here they head right towards the pickup, and to kind of gather them up, the pickup makes a little circuitous route, and more cows collect following the pickup. I know it's real deep, but why are they following the pickup? It's not because of the music the farmer's playing on the radio. It's not that they're interested in that. They're interested what's in the back of the pickup. They want what's in the back of the pickup. They want the hay. Amen. They want it. And not only do they want it, they need it. And listen, what kind of farmer would it be to say, well, you know, I'm going to play a joke on them today. Amen. I'm not going to put any hay in the back of my pickup, but I'm just going to drive out in the field. And so the cow's following him around, and then he either just drives on out and never throws a bale of hay off, or he stops and they keep waiting, nothing there. No, that's not a good farmer. Amen. They know that they are not mistaken to follow that pickup, because they know in that pickup is what they want and what they need. That pickup with that farmer is the source of what they are craving. I'm telling you, people will seek after God when they recognize that in Him they'll find what they so desperately need for their soul and for their life. If people could just realize that God has what they need, God has what they want, they'd quit following after other things and they'd begin to pursue and seek God. Have you found in God what your soul needs? Let me see your hand. Have you found in God what your soul craves? Amen. Amen. The sad thing is, in our society, people are following after things other than God. They're going after the world's music. They go after chemicals like drugs and alcohol. They're involved in relationships that God cannot bless. They're involved in illicit relationships. They partake of those things, and having partaken of them, they realize they're still empty. They're still jaded. They're still dry. And so I'm going to preach this morning. It's a wonderful thing to realize that God is El Shaddai. El Shaddai. He's the one that has what I need. He's the one that has the strength. He's the one that has the food for my soul. He's the one that has the meaning. He's the one that has the reality. He's the one that has the purpose. Oh, it's wonderful to realize He is El Shaddai. Let's look at what El Shaddai met when God revealed himself. Now, I want to be honest enough without bringing the debris of the workshop into the pulpit. I want to admit that there's been some debate on what El Shaddai means. And the reason for that is Shaddai has three roots. One of the roots is destroyer. Another root is the mountain. And the other root is what I'm going to share with you. And I believe it's this last one that fits the context of Scripture the best. And that's why I've chosen it to present is what I think Abraham understood when God said, I am El Shaddai. Amen. I want to prepare us for that in a moment. But first of all, just briefly, we learned last time from Elohim that El means power. El means might. El means strength. So we got the power part of that, the might of the God Almighty. That's in the El. But what does the Shaddai mean? And here's where I want to prepare us. And all of this is going to be very discreet, but I want you to listen to me carefully. Amen. The Bible has a culture where the realities of life are spoken about openly and frankly. The realities of life from birth to death, they're spoken of very openly. Amen. And one of the realities of life that's spoken about, even from God directly, is the imagery of a mother nourishing her child. It is all through Scripture. If you take the time to read, even from the mouth of God, when He wants to convey a spiritual truth, He'll often use the reality of a mother nursing or nourishing her child. How many knows it's a hypocrisy of our culture that people run around in public almost completely naked, unclothed, and yet they've made it a shameful thing for a woman to nourish her child in public. They've made that a very shameful thing. It's a hypocrisy of our culture. But it's not a hypocrisy. It's that the fact is the Bible shares spiritual truths in this imagery. And so let me share with you that third root of Shaddai. The third root of Shaddai is literally a reference to a mother's anatomy that provides nourishment to her baby. It's a picture, Shaddai, of a mother from a mother's body giving her baby the sustenance, the strength, the life from her body to the baby's body. We know that. We know that that's where a baby gets its sustenance, its food, its very strength. Amen. The baby gets its life from the nourishment of the mother. And so we could say it this way. The mother is Shaddai to her baby. Amen. That might not mean a lot, and you may be still processing that. But let me tell you, that's what Abraham was understanding. When God said, I am El Shaddai, Abraham in his mind had the picture of a mother giving life, giving sustenance, giving strength to her child. Now it means something when we say God is El Shaddai. It means God is the source of our strength. God is where our life comes from. God is where the sustenance of our soul comes from. You can eat the junk food of the world, but your soul really needs the nourishment from heaven, the bread that comes from heaven. He is El Shaddai. Our strength comes from Him. He is the source of all that we need. Oh, it's more than that. What mother refuses her child the strength and life of her body? A mother doesn't do that. A mother freely gives the strength and sustenance of her body. I'm telling you, God is El Shaddai. He willingly gives us strength. He willingly gives us life. He willingly gives us sustenance. If you're a little doubt of what I'm talking about, I won't even read it all. I just will have him put it up on the board here. Even I could have chosen many other scriptures because it's all through the Bible. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Shaddai who will bless thee with blessings of heaven above and blessings of the deep that lieth under. And here's the Shaddai again, the blessings of the mother. It says God gives these blessings. The blessings that God gives from heaven are as the blessings that a mother gives to her child. Lie. You say that's Old Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes. How do newborn babes receive their nourishment? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow there. I'm telling you, he is our El Shaddai. Oh, he gives us the blessings of life. He gives us the blessings of sustenance. I'm telling you, not only will he satisfy your soul, if you'll feast from God, you'll grow thereby from the El Shaddai. Amen. Taking that idea in scripture, El Shaddai became synonymous with the all-sufficient one. Not only does God have everything that he needs, being the El Shaddai, he gives us everything we need. And because of that, the Hebrews begin to understand El Shaddai to mean the God who is enough. Oh, hallelujah. I've often said, the indictment against believers is they say that Jesus is the answer, and then they go seeking out in the world things to try to satisfy their soul. You need nothing out there. You'll find nothing out there. He is the God enough. He's enough to take you through. He's enough to make you joyful. He's enough when the doctors say that your baby is going to be born handicapped. He's enough when you got a situation you don't know why. He's the all-sufficient God. He's the El Shaddai. He's the one. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the ability. He'll give you the power. Oh, somebody start praising the El Shaddai right now. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Aren't you glad you worship the El Shaddai? Glory to God. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. I've got to preach the rest of this. Even I was watching a documentary a while back, and it was about baby mammals, I think in Australia, and how they were trying to rescue them because their mothers had been killed on the roadways. And they made the point that a lot of babies die every year because once their mother is killed, they have no source of sustenance and strength. And so even though the baby survived the accident, the baby ends up dying because there is no nourishment from the mother. Amen. Amen. What an awful thing. Could I tell you, it's not because God is dead. He's not. It's because people have not turned to him. They've not turned to the El Shaddai. Just like those baby mammals, their souls are dying. They're shriveling up. They're drying out. They're dying from the inside out, because the El Shaddai is not in their lives, just like the mother is not in the lives of these babies. Amen. You're feeding on the wrong thing. You're trying to get nourishment out of the wrong thing. I think of people that go to the world, they go to the entertainment, they watch those awful movies of zombies and all that junk. Amen. Trying to get something to feed their soul. Amen. They take alcohol, they drink this, they take that, trying to nourish their soul. That stuff will never nourish your soul. All the illicitness on the internet will never nourish your soul. Your soul will dry out. You'll be empty. You'll be jaded. You'll be ruined until you discover the El Shaddai. He's the one that nourishes your soul. Oh, hallelujah. I just feel like he's here. What did the El Shaddai mean to Abram that day? What did El Shaddai mean to Abraham? I want you to know, I had to read in the story of Abraham for us to talk about El Shaddai. And that's because God revealed his names to his people within the stories of his people. You have a story too. And if you'll live for God, God will reveal himself within your story, just like he revealed himself within Abraham's story. That's what happened. Something's going on in Abraham's life. What is that that was going on in Abraham's life that caused God to reveal himself to Abram as El Shaddai? I'll put it really brief, and you've heard it before, but God promised Abraham, who is at that time a pagan, an idolater, and perhaps he'd begin to leave that. Well, we don't know how far along the journey he was. But God told Abram, he said, if you leave this city of Ur, if you leave this city of civilization, yet pagantry, if you'll leave it, I'll make of you, I'll give you a child, not only a child, I'll give you grandsons, great-granddaughters, until you have so many descendants you can't count them, and I will bless all the nations of the earth through your descendants if you'll leave. Abraham went out not knowing whither he went. He obeyed. He had faith. He believed God. He went out saying, I'm serving God, and I'm going to have a child. I'm serving God. I'm going to have so many grandkids you can't count them. Amen. That's what he said. He said, I'm serving God, and I'll have more grandkids than Cecil and Devona Rose have. Amen. That's what he said. Always happy. He's happy for 1 year, 5 years, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years. But guess what? No kid. And now he's 99 years old. How excited do you think he's getting now about the promise of God? How excited now do you think he is about all those grandkids? He's 99. This is his story. So it's when Abraham has gone all these years without seeing the promise of God fulfilled. It's when Abram has gone all these years. He's 99. And I'm going to point out in a moment that at 99, you have no reason to suspect you're going to have a child. Right? It's then that God reveals himself to Abraham as the El Shaddai. All these years, no promise being fulfilled. All these years, no child. And God says to Abraham, you're still going to have a child because I am El Shaddai. Doctor said it's impossible. God said, I'm El Shaddai. Time says it's impossible. God said, I'm El Shaddai. The body said it's impossible. God said, I am El Shaddai. Oh, hallelujah. Does anyone feel the Lord in this place? I'm going to put this in very discreet yet very frank terms. Here we are in Abraham's story, promised a child, but neither Abram nor Sarah have what it takes to have a child. They are past that season of life. They simply, biologically, do not have the biological necessities to have that child. That's when God says, I am El Shaddai. He says, you don't have what it takes, but I do, and you will have that child. I'm talking to someone this morning. You've seen promises in this word. You've had things God has spoken to your heart. You've had visions and dreams. And now it looks like, because of the passage of time, different things happening, it looks like it's never going to happen for you. You're never going to see it. I want to tell you what you need to realize. He is El Shaddai. And when you don't have what it takes for your vision to come to pass, when you don't have what it takes for God's promise to be fulfilled in your life, he is still El Shaddai. Oh, glory to God. God made the promise, and he is El Shaddai. Now, I want to give one this amazing parenthetical, but somebody needs to hear it this morning. There was a time when Abraham didn't let God be El Shaddai. Did you know that? He said, we're reaching the point, there is no child. Somehow, we've got to make the promise be fulfilled in our own. And the Bible story says that at Sarah's suggestion, he took Sarah's servant girl and a child was produced. But it was not the child provided by El Shaddai. It was the child provided by Abram and Sarah's self-effort, own effort, own ways, a fleshly. And that child was Ishmael. And that's why the towers went down in 2001. Did you know that? That's why we have terrorism today. Because Abraham said, rather than trusting in God, I'll do this myself. I'll make this happen. Oh, if I could tell folks, I know you get tired of waiting. I know things get difficult. I know the temptation comes. But the moment you begin to try to make things happen on your own, without the involvement of God and the hand of God and the touch of God, you're going to mess something up. Let me just put it this way. We have major trouble in the world. Abraham had major trouble because Abram didn't let God be the El Shaddai, the one who gives the strength and the nourishment. Amen. So now Abraham's messed it all up. Now God has told him, I am the El Shaddai, and I am going to give you a child. Look what it says in verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face, and he laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? He's admitting we don't have what it takes to have a child. I want you to notice something. This is later in the story I read. I want you to notice, because scholars have been debating, was Abraham laughing because he was doubting, or was he laughing because faith kicked in and he believes he's going to have a child? I think it's a little of both. I think he's waited so many years, his faith has begun to wane. He's begun to doubt. But yet after all those years, God came and said, I am the El Shaddai. You're still going to have a kid. And something started to stir again within Abraham. He began to laugh. He said, I don't see how it's going to happen. I'm 100 and she's 90. But oh, the El Shaddai is making himself known to me. So it must going to be happen. Amen. It might have been a hiatus here. It might have been a long time since you dreamed that. It might have been a long time since you held on to that promise. You might have been doubting in your soul. But if you'd realize he's El Shaddai this morning, something could start to stir again in your heart. And you could say, yes, it is possible. Because he is the El Shaddai. God provided Abraham and Sarah what they did not have to have a child. Look what it says there. Abraham must have begun to dwell upon El Shaddai, because in Romans, Paul picked that up and said, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Listen to this. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. What was Paul talking about? I believe he was talking about, after having struggled with his faith, God appeared to Abraham on this occasion and said, I am the El Shaddai. And it was after the El Shaddai that Abraham was in the condition that Paul wrote about. He didn't stagger. He believed in him who promised that he was able to perform. He could have looked at his own body, now dead, in the words of Paul. He could have looked at his wife Sarah, whose womb was dead, in the eyes of Paul. But instead, he said, what did I just hear? I heard El Shaddai. Walking by the mirror, you know. At least I do. I always picture myself younger than I am. That full head of hair. I was at that meeting, and I looked around, and I said, all these classmates, and even my students, that I said, they're getting old. They're getting bald and gray. I mean, some of them look like they're so old, they're up in their 50s. And then it hit me, I'm in my 50s. And he walked by the mirror and he said, that old man ain't ever going to have a child. And then he heard in his ears, El Shaddai.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I am. Oh, hallelujah. You can listen to what voice you want to listen to. You can listen to that doubt. We got too much of that. I've got to go on, but I've got to press this. We have people listening to ungodly folk, people listening to the world, people listening to carnal Christians, telling them they can't live for God. It's not worth living for God. The promises of God will never have. You listen and listen and listen to that. You look around at your circumstances and say, it ain't ever going. It's time we quit listening to that and listen to a voice that says, I am El Shaddai. Hallelujah. That's what Abraham did. Here's a wonderful thing. I don't have time to bear on this. Just briefly mention it. After God said, I am El Shaddai, then he turned and looked at Abram and said, and you are Abraham. You are the father of many nations. I'm telling you, when you know who God is, it'll change who you are. I said, when you know who God is, it'll change who you are. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Do you know God? It'll change who you are. El Shaddai. Thank God. God waited till Abraham and Sarah were past childbearing age, so when the child happened, they would know it was all God. They would see their insufficiency, and in seeing their insufficiency, they would see God's sufficiency. I want to tell you this morning, wait patiently on God. Would you do that? Wait patiently on God. Trust in Him. He'll be the El Shaddai that fulfills His promise. Don't get ahead of this game. Don't get in a hurry like Abraham. Wait on God. Let Him be the El Shaddai of your life. Anybody out there, do you hear what I'm saying? Don't get ahead of this. Don't backslide. Don't give up. Don't go cold. Don't quit fighting. Don't listen. Wait on Him. He'll be the El Shaddai of your life. Last of all, I want to just kind of apply it just a little more. What does or what should El Shaddai mean to us today? Each of us, I am persuaded, whether it's the one that stands behind the pulpit or you that's sitting here listening this morning or these elders up in the amen corner, each of us will come to that day and place that we are empty and without strength and we just do not have what it takes to face what we're facing. Everybody comes to that place. Without El Shaddai, we're going to dry up. Our lives will shrivel away. We'll not survive. But when we come to the end of our strength, if we will discover anew that He is El Shaddai, we'll find that He's all our soul has need of. And being the El Shaddai, He will nourish us. You are the source of my strength. I want you to just participate with me. How many has been in that place where you absolutely did not have what it took to take one more step? I want you to lift your hand. But suddenly the El Shaddai came by and He put strength in your soul. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, amen. We haven't even said it together. Would you say it with me? El Shaddai. Say it with me again. El Shaddai, God Almighty. I don't know why I'm thinking about it. When I first came here, I got an old cassette of Brother Vaughn, one of his last messages. He preached on the all-sufficient God. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you what. I know I got to go ahead, but I'm way off, and I'm just going to trust it's the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you why people don't keep living for God and find themselves out in the world in its sin and all its temptation. I'll tell you why. Their God was too small. I'll tell you why people give up when any little old thing happens in their life and they get upset and they get discouraged and they want to quit. You want to know why? Their God is too small. I mean, that's all they think of God. I can't make it. I can't do it. It isn't worth it. Amen. When folks start talking like that, they got a view of God where He's way too small. I want you to know God's not way too small. That's why we're preaching, knowing Him through His names. If you'll get a hold of this El Shaddai, you'll realize your God is not too small. Hallelujah. I said your God is not too small. I want you to say that today, this morning. Would you lift your hand and say, God, your you're not too small. You're big enough. Hallelujah. Well, glory. I don't care your sickness. God's not too small. I don't care your temptation. God's not. Oh, I got to go on. I got to go on. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he says, not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Man, there's so many rabbits jumping up. I'm so tired of what's called the gospel preached today that teaches everybody they have everything they need. You got the potential. All you need is self-esteem to put that potential in action. You're something great. You're something wonderful. Look in the mirror and tell that mirror, that person in the mirror, you're full of potential. You can make anything happen. You can have every dream come true. It's being preached and large crowds are coming out and called themselves Christian. It's a lie. It's heresy. If we were sufficient in ourselves, Jesus need never come and die. I want to tell you, we don't have what it takes. I said, we don't have, the sufficiency is not of ourselves. We could not save ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. I said, our sufficiency is of God. Amen. Did you know without the El Shaddai, you're a branch that's been lobbed off. You're a branch that's been cut off. You're going to wither. You're going to die. But if you realize he's the El Shaddai, you'll understand what Jesus meant when he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me. Why? When we abide in the vine, we receive the strength and the help and the nourishment and the sustenance from the El Shaddai. Oh, hallelujah. We come to our end of ourselves. I'm about done. We come to the end of ourselves and recognize truly he is the El Shaddai. Let me put it in the words of Paul. What did he say? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Doesn't that sound like God saying one more time, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He'll give you strength to face that trial. He'll give you the peace of mind. Already in the notes, God orchestrated this service. He'll give you the peace of mind to go through that unthinkable situation. He'll give you courage to stand up against the enemy. It may be at school, your faith being attacked. Hallelujah. Why was it there in Oregon when that shooter walked in there and said, are you Christian? And he shot those that said, yes, I'm a Christian. How could they stand there and say, yes, I'm a Christian? Oh, because in their heart they heard El Shaddai, El Shaddai. He'll give you courage. I said he'll give you courage to make a stand. He'll give you joy when you're walking through the barren places. Oh, glory. Oh, is anybody hearing El Shaddai? Anybody hearing that? El Shaddai? I'm talking about God. I'm not talking about magic and abracadabra. I'm talking about God. He is the El Shaddai. Glory to God. He is the source of our strength. The little key, and I won't have time to preach on this, but God in that story said, Abraham, if you'll walk with me, you'll have that child. Amen. I can't be out in the world and expect him to be the El Shaddai, but if I'm walking with him, the El Shaddai is right there. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to walk with God. We're too late in the game to quit walking with God. And a lot of people went a lot of directions. You want that message come tonight. A lot of people going in a lot of different directions. But you can't afford to walk without the El Shaddai. Hallelujah. Walk with me, Abraham. Amen. Folks have made everything else their Shaddai. We kind of joke with kids. If you need a babysitter, you IV them into the TV. Amen. We know the picture of IV. Getting your strength from that bag in the hospital. And so we IV them into the TV. People are IV'd into a lot of things. Amen. Games and television and forbidden relationships and worldliness. They're IV'd into that, trying to feed their soul. If they'd only take assessment, they're not feeding their soul with that. Amen. They're drying up. I said they're barren. They're empty. They're hurting. They're in pain. I'll tell you, if you're going to use that imagery, I want to be IV'd into the El Shaddai. Hallelujah. I want him to be the source. Oh, glory to God. Is anyone here? El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Would you go ahead and come, music? I'll quit. You're never going to get out of those things what your soul craves and needs. And Abraham came to the place he's emptied of his own ability and discovered God, the El Shaddai. I think of another man, Apostle Paul. He came to the end of his strength. He prayed. He had done all the right things. But he was at the end of his strength. And God used a little different words. But God came to Paul, the Apostle Paul, and said, Paul, I know it's tough, but I'm your El Shaddai. You said, did God say that to Paul? Yes, he did. There it is. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of the El Shaddai, Christ, may rest upon me. Sometimes more than others. But this morning in particular, I just feel like God is trying to talk to folks. You need God. You don't need anything else. Everything else you may try is going to dry. You'll never have the strength to make it. But let him be your El Shaddai. Hallelujah. Oh, reach out to him this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Could you stand across the building? I want just one more thing. I so appreciate the Lord emphasizing. Go ahead and put that picture up, brother. How many's ever been introduced to this man? I probably get his last name wrong, so I'll just call him Nick. He was born without arms, without legs. He does have feet that's attached to the torso of his body. Bitter for many years. Didn't want to live. Now he goes around, and one of the trademarks of his testimony, he says, I live a ridiculously good life. In this condition. He said, people look at me, and they look at me in terms of what I lack. What I lack. Is that ringing a bell? What I lack. He said, I tell them that my victory came. Listen, my victory came when I surrendered. Amen. In other words, when I brought my lack to God. Yes. My victory came when I surrendered. And he said, it comes every day. Listen, He said, it comes every day. Victory comes every day when I acknowledge I cannot do this on my own. And so I say to God, I give it to you. He gave my life meaning when no one and nothing else could provide it. You hear an El Shaddai? No one else could provide it. And if God can't take someone like me, someone without arms and legs, and use me as his hands and feet, if he can take someone like me without arms and legs, and he can use me as hands and feet, he can use anybody. Because it's not about ability. The only thing God needs from you is a willing heart. I'm going to give an altar call this morning. Whether your greatest need is salvation, whether your need is courage, whether your need is peace, whether your need is joy. And I'm going to invite you to do what he said he does. I'm going to invite you to come in a moment and bring your lack to the El Shaddai and discover that he is the source that will give your soul what you need. How many like to already start coming? You want to bring your lack and your need and your insufficiency. Bring it to the Lord. If you're here and you don't serve Christ, you'll never be satisfied until you do what he said. Nick said, he said, I surrendered myself. I surrendered. That's right. Fill these altars up. But there's others. You don't know the Lord. Can't you surrender to him? Listen, you never have found what you need. You never have been able to satisfy the emptiness of your heart, and you never will. Man's not made to meet his own need. Man's not made to satisfy his own heart. You don't know Jesus. Oh, you need him. Oh, you need him. Why don't you do what Nick did and say, Lord, I bring you my lack. I bring you my inability. Oh, when you come this morning, pray to him as the El Shaddai. The one from whom my life comes. The one from whom my nourishment comes. The one from whom my strength comes. Do you need Jesus this morning? Oh, don't you know the joy? Come. Come and surrender. Come and say to God, I don't have what it takes. It's not in me. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. I don't have the power. I just don't have it. Amen. Would you come and surrender to him? I need Jesus. This is your day. This is your moment. Nothing else is going to feed your soul. Your soul's going to shrivel up. Your soul is going to die inside out. Oh, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You need Jesus this morning. You've never reached that full surrender. You still think, well, maybe if I'll try a little harder, maybe if I'll partake of something new, it's going to satisfy. No, ma'am, no, sir, it won't. You need the El Shaddai. You need Jesus. Come on, church. God is in this place. Let's pray around this altar. Go ahead and call out. I know you're praying, but call out to him. Call out to the El Shaddai. I need you, God. I need you, God. He satisfies. Oh, God, feel somebody up this morning. God, give strength this morning.
He satisfies.
Say yes to him.
Jesus satisfies.
You can partake of everything this world has to offer, and it will not be enough.
He's all I need.
That's it. Pour out your heart. God, I need you. God, I can't make it without you. I want everyone praying in the altar to say, God, I don't have what it takes. I just don't have it. But you do. You do, Lord. You're the El Shaddai. Wonderful Lord. He's in this place, church. The El Shaddai that spoke to Abraham, he's in this place. Learn his name and he'll change yours.
Yes, he answers prayer.
Do you know him as El Shaddai? I can do nothing without that vine.
Jesus.